This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. I can say that since I've been out of bed for about 2 or 3 hours, but it was hard getting up this morning. It is absolutely just freezing out there. And speaking of freezing, I have Mr. Dan Whittle on today, my special guest. And actually, Dan is one of these people that he and I have been friends for so long, we can say anything, whatever it is, whether it's a negative thing or a positive thing, it's always out of friendship. And you don't know really how lucky you are to be able to have a friend that you can bounce off like that. And that we don't take each other very serious, but yet we can get in a few shots every once in a while.
I have no buddies. Are you awake
well,
now?
I didn't know.
Are you awake now?
Yeah, I'm awake enough to know that who one of our sponsors is this week, and that's Caldwell Banker, Barnes Auctioneers, Ralph McKee, and J.D. Kite. And they're inviting everyone to be out this Saturday morning for an auction in Christiana. And it's Ben and Ruth Hilliard's place, and it's located at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana at 10 a.m. this coming Saturday. There's two homes, a 36 by 64 metal shop, over 20 acres. Farm equipment, shop tools will be sold as the Hilliards downsize. This is an auction you don't want to miss. The auction begins at 10 a.m., farm equipment sale at 11:30, and the land sales at noon. This Saturday at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. And for more information, visit CaldwellBankerAuctions.com or call 893-1130. That's CaldwellBankerAuctions.com or call 893-1130. And
you are remarkable. You remembered all of that. You've got it memorized. That
well, there are certain things that hit you that are extremely important, and mm-hmm. You feel like, I tell you what, I love to go to auctions. It's just something stimulating about them, but you can usually get a really good deal on something you're looking for, just like this particular sale. I mean, you got the equipment, you got the farm and all of that, and I'm sure that there's a lot of lifetime memories that the Hilliards have accumulated over the years.
My wife's got a black belt in yard sales and auctions, mm-hmm. and being in real estate, she loves doing auctions, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of planning that goes into a well-done auction.
An auction, they say, is one of the things that you can go out and actually have a good deal, but you can actually have a good time too, because it's a time to go out and mingle with the people and have fun and just see what everybody's interested in. And I don't know. If there's an auction going on Saturday, I'd love to try to find it. Of course, if there's not a ball game going on that time of morning.
Absolutely. Anyway.
Well, how are things going at the newspaper?
I tell you what, we're busy. Mm-hmm. The community, we live in a very active community, mm-hmm. very vibrant community, a dynamic community. We got several new things going on coming up real soon that I thought we might talk about a little
bit. Why are
you
pushing that paper in front of me?
Give you something to say.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. They finally got you. Read to Succeed is going to have their competition November the 13th.
Spelling Bee.
It is going to be a spelling bee. And I have taken part in this before. I didn't win, but I think I got through 2, 3, or 4 late. I can't remember how far I got. Mm-hmm. I was so nervous that I knew that I was going to fail somewhere along the line, and how... It's humiliating, actually, with all the people out there that are supporting, and I'm going to be there supporting you.
Well, I appreciate that, but don't hold up any cue cards for me or any cheat sheets or anything. You can't spell beans.
I know I can't.
I mean, you can run that mouth, but you can't spell it.
Well, I'm not supposed to spell. Oh, I mean, okay. That's a good thing about being on the radio. All right, let's see. Who have you got? You got Susan Brennan, of Nissan, Don Clayton, Ingram Books, Leanne Duffy of Southern Veterinarian Center, Dunk Eastham, Tennessee Pediatrics, Mary Moss, Women's Health Specialist, Mitchell Moat, who was just on UT Ag, Tina Patel, Merck Vaccines, Joey P., Merseburg Medical Clinic, Steve Peterson, everybody knows Steve, used to be coach at, a successful coach at MTSU, Cynthia Stroberg, Stones River Medical Center, Jewel Tankard, Destiny Center Church, Whit Turnbow, MTSU Golf Coach, great coach, Tom Vance, First National Bank, and Dan Whittle. I know probably at least half or maybe a few more. That's going to be a strong competition right
there. Yeah, they went and got the brains of the community to put up against me, and so I don't imagine I'll last long.
You and Pete Peterson will go out early. You're involved in so many things. I mean, you're one of our favorite writers. You've been in this community for a long time, coming in from Missouri and by the way of Nashville. But what gets you so interested in all of these programs that benefit so many people? Because I couldn't even name them on both hands, the number of organizations that have called you to support their particular causes.
Well, I'll do a little commercial while we're at it. The this morning, right after I leave the show, Smyrna Rotary Club is presenting $2,000 for the Fisher House that's being constructed as we speak at the York VA Medical Center. That's a very worthy, dynamic cause. We've raised over $2 million here locally, and which speaks so well of our community in time of recession. We're still a giving community, and so we feel very fortunate. Helping others is good for my health. Yeah. It makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a selfish thing, too. So I do, but I love people. People's my energy source. I love being around good people.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to represent WGNS at the groundbreaking at the Veterans Hospital here in Murfreesboro. And what a great event. And got to meet some of the heroes of past wars. And it's just something special to be able to rub shoulders with the type of people that we have had served us well.
Absolutely.
And also those that have served us here in the community. Of course, Mr. Payne Haynes, what a great story. I mean,
a true hero.
A great, you know, somebody needs to write a book about his life, because I mean a real book that takes in from the time he was raised, especially in this area, and then from the time he made it through the wars and back and became a successful businessman.
The part of his story that really stuck with me was when he was in the march in Germany as a POW, and he fell out of the marching line when the guards were not looking, and he had actually under tombstones in a little cemetery that he rolled off in the ditch and rolled over into the cemetery and got under a couple of tombstones, and they didn't miss him. That's how he escaped.
You meet so many interesting people and have in your life. We were going to have Marty Stewart's mom and sister on this morning, but they something happened that they had to leave.
Health issues in the family, couldn't be here today. But they're doing well. They said they wanted to be on at a later date.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you're able to have such a great rapport with so many different people from so many walks of life? And I know if you're successful in that area, you've got to be a people person. You've got to like, you don't look at the classes of people. You don't look at the money that they've got. You just look at the person. And every individual on this earth has a story to tell. They really
do. Well, that's been the key to my journalism career. You hit it on the head right there. Everybody is a story. When I'm blessed to go speak at colleges and universities and high schools, I always stress everybody is a story. Everybody is important. I think that's helped my career, and I think that comes across in my writing.
It does.
The another thing that I stress when I speak to young aspiring writers or is the ability to listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, really focus in and listen. How few people do you know today that really stops and takes the time to listen to somebody else?
And that's what's really important.
It is.
How are you going to learn anything if you got your mouth going all the time and your ear's not working?
One of my wise old editors, first editor I had, was named Bob York. So old that he covered the Indian Wars out in Oklahoma. But he told me, he said, "Well, if you'd shut up, you'd learn a lot more during your interviews." That took hold.
It's a matter, in your business, though, it's a matter of listening, but also having the right questions available when the time gets a little lull and lax and the things that you really want to know. Because I know that a lot of your stories, they start out in a certain area where you want to get the subject that you have in mind, and then all of a sudden you hear something that's a whole lot more interesting. And so you switch right in midstream.
Well, for an example is a story I think comes out today in the Murfreesboro Post about a family, a firefighter here, that lost his wife a few weeks ago. And he and his children, of course, are still grieving. And she died with cancer at age 43. Mm. And they went to church last Sunday. And while it was at church, nobody was in their home or anything. And they came home. And the young son looked down in the kitchen floor and said, "Daddy, there's a ring laying here." Mm. Well, the husband had lost his wedding ring about 15 or 16 years ago.
Wow.
That was the wedding ring laying in the middle of the floor. And they feel like it was her, the angel that he lost, his wife, that returned, found the wedding ring and put it right in the middle of the kitchen floor where they could not miss seeing it.
That's amazing.
Now that touched my heart.
You know, the stories in themselves are gut-wrenching, but you do such a good job of painting a picture for what's going on.
You
really do. I mean, you have, you're able to put the fun where it belongs, and then you're also able to paint the tragedy that's going on at the same time. And you know, that's what really makes getting through life really worthwhile, is you suffer through all the things, the negative things that go on, but yet you're able to find humor somewhere, and that's what really keeps you going. The humor is the healing process of life.
And it's better than a pain pill.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you always are able to find some paragraph in there that you can insert the humor to kind of make the people feel better, because you just don't want to read bad stuff.
I like to put those little gold, I call them little gold nuggets, and I like to put those in the story, drop them in. I also like to drop them in sometimes at the start of a story, sometimes in the middle. Sometimes I say, well, this wedding ring that I'm talking about, it's at the very end of this story, and I've had two or three people read the story in advance, and I tacked it on at the very end, and boy, that's the part that grabs the hearts of the readers.
Your dad, I know, was a big influence in your life because he was a character in himself, but I can see a lot of what you write down through your mom, Miss Ruby. Because she had a great sense of humor.
And she kept her mind to the very end. She was talking to me and instructing me on what to do, even when she was dying on the morning that she passed away.
Sweet lady.
Kept her mind to the very end. The strong people, I agree with Brokaw that that generation is the strongest generation in American history. They brought us from a horse and buggy era to the moon and back in that generation. They brought us through World War II, the Depression. They brought us to the 50s and the 60s, probably the best actual living decades, livable decades in American history.
I agree 100%.
And that generation set that up.
It seems like sometimes it's hard to accept prosperity, because the 50s were the greatest time. They really were.
Ideal time to grow up.
You had great friends. Everybody believed what they heard. It was just a fun time.
Little League baseball.
Oh, yeah, everything. And then, then the 60s came around, and then we started,
going nuts.
Yeah.
But we're
fixed to find out how strong our we are right now, because, you know, we have gone through some pretty tough times, too. And one of the hardest things that people seem to have trouble with is building relationships with people from all types. And you see a lot of the rancor, unfortunately, during the political processes. And sometimes that mirrors what's going on in our community. And I don't like to see that. I like to see people still, we're still Americans. We're still the strongest country in the world. We've got great people. They just need to see the positive things, and the things that are worthwhile.
I couldn't agree with you more. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, actually, I saw a change coming in the newspaper industry with the computers and the internet coming online and everything. So I said, well, we're going to have to change. That was when I made the decision, because we're 24/7 now. Mm-hmm. Bad news, 99% of it's bad news, 24/7.
Like a lot of it's created through the news itself.
And that's when I decided, hey, why don't I start going after what I call the good news of mm-hmm. a community? And
down to earth
mm-hmm. stories, real people getting through this world, mm-hmm. doing their thing to get through this world. And you know what? My career soared when I started putting those type of stories in the newspaper.
Don't you feel like, of course, I did not know you before you came here when you were with the Daily News Journal until you started coming by. You had the police beat for a while, and you became one of my good friends because I liked what you were. And you were able to put that even in perspective when you put your pen to paper. And it was something that is missing a lot, I think, mm-hmm. in the normal process of newspapers. Because if you want to put a negative tone in the community, what's going on, or in a person's personal life or whatever, it's easy to do. I mean, if you want to focus on those type things, but to my way of seeing things, we weren't brought up to do things like that.
And
for us to read that kind of stuff or watch it on the airways day after day after day, it's demoralizing.
Your parents and my parents taught us to look for the good in people. And I think that's what's missing today, especially in the media. Mm-hmm. We don't look for the good in America. We're not reporting the good in America. So we have a lot of depression right now, mental depression in our nation. So we're thirsty for good news. Pat, my wife, brought up a good point the other day. She had counting up what I call my close friends, and she said, have you ever noticed that your close friends always have – they have serious jobs. They are achievers in life, but they take their jobs very serious, but they don't take themselves too serious. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of people I thrive around.
Yeah, I mean, when I read your stories, you pick on people like you just said. Roger Haley has become the victim of some of yours. I have become the victim. I mean, I'm one of the lesser players, but John Hood and it goes all the way through. And that shows you that when you have a true relationship with people, nothing you can do can offend them. It really can't, because they know that it's all in the spirit of having fun.
Well, in my work, as far as I know, I cannot remember violating my word. If you as the former sheriff, if I gave you my word that I would keep something out of the newspaper until you solve the crime and everything, as far as I know, I've never broken my word to a news source.
I have seen it. I was watching a national show the other day, and it had to do with the media, and they were talking about Watergate and the two young reporters that dug and dug and dug until they finally got the story out as to what happened. And it was just like it was an enlightenment. Every newspaper person, it seemed like from then on, was looking for the big story, a breaking story, that was going to show negative things. It didn't matter at what level. And then when they start winning the awards are made on not like the stories that you put out. The awards are made when they bring somebody to task or destroy their reputations or whatever.
Sensationalism is what I call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you brought up an interesting point, the Watergate thing. They did dig and dig and dig, and they finally got to the truth and got it out to the public. I feel like in the Iraqi war, I don't feel like the media dug and dug and dug. We went into the Iraqi war on false information from our government leaders. Well, I hold the media partially responsible.
Now, that's not always, that's not exactly all true now. See, what information, what you're talking about now is the post, kind of post-war type situations where people start looking. When we first went into it, everybody was on the same page. Everybody, let's go get them. I mean, they've attacked our country. We're going after them. And then as it became more tedious and more lives were being lost, then a negative connotation starts coming in, and then when it's time for the vultures to start flying.
The stated reason for going into the Iraqi war was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Could not have been further from the truth.
It depends on how you look at the... see, there was a big debate over that, whether what is weapons of mass destruction. So that could be almost anything, as you know. I mean, it could be an ideology that may be permeating all across the country. But still, you know, during the Vietnam era, you know, all the wars except for probably World War One and World War Two were probably more political wars than anything else. And you have to look at, you know, is this worth going over and getting involved in? You know, the United States is one of these countries that we try to be humane even during war, which in some cases it's caused us to lose many more soldiers because there are things that we could have done that would have caused a whole lot more casualties to the people, the individuals that we were fighting. So we always pull back in those type things. So, you know, you can look at anything in a negative way, and you can look at anything in a positive way. And I tend to like it. I like the positive
way. I do, too. The speaking of the media, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is our new Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame.
Wow.
To be located at MTSU's College of Mass Communication.
Okay, before we get into that, let's take a quick break because I don't want to break once we get into it.
All right.
All right.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have low interest rates and ongoing market volatility jeopardized your financial peace of mind? There is a solution. Work with a professional that believes in safe money alternatives. For 24 years, Doug King of King Financial Management specialized in strategies that provide asset protection, moderate growth, and guaranteed retirement income. Call Doug today at 877-890-5489 so that tomorrow your money will be working smarter for you. Online at kingfinancialmanagement.com. That's kingfinancialmanagement.com.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, When you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
A Wednesday afternoon fire. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue Department's District 8 and Engine 1 responded to a fire call at 1422 Chariot Drive Wednesday afternoon. Upon entering one of the townhomes there, crews discovered heavy smoke. The fire contained to the kitchen area. The ceiling and cabinets above the stove were damaged by the fire. The unit also received smoke damage throughout. No injuries were reported, and the American Red Cross assisting the family displaced by the blaze. This brought to you by Dr. Mark Kestner, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. For more than 20 years, Dr. Mark Kestner has helped thousands of your friends and neighbors find relief from pain. For a free consultation, call 895-1253. The American Red Cross has a huge relief response underway to the victims of Superstorm Sandy, providing people across a number of states with a safe place to stay, food to eat, and comfort during this difficult time. After Wednesday's deployment, the Tennessee Volunteer Region of the American Red Cross will have deployed 37 workers and 5 emergency response vehicles. Red Cross workers from the Tennessee Volunteer Region include many trained responders from Rutherford and surrounding counties and are expected to help with relief efforts even more in the next few days. 3 Murfreesboro men face marijuana possession-related charges after a drug bust that occurred at an apartment on Greenland Drive. 26-year-old Gene A. Howes allegedly had 56 grams of marijuana in his possession and some digital scales. He was charged with felony possession. 25-year-old Willie Dyson III also apprehended on a felony sale of marijuana charge. He had a half an ounce of marijuana in his possession. Also arrested and charged with simple possession was 21-year-old Devon T. Howes. He apparently was a non-resident of the apartment he was just visiting. And Director of Schools Don Odom has announced the selection of Dr. Clark Harrell as the first principal of Stewart's Creek High. Harrell served as assistant principal to Blackman since 2005. I'm Ron Jordan. You are up to date, and this is WGNS News.
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you. I'm Bob New, and I approve this ad. Paid for by Bob New Campaign, Linda New Treasurer.
Weather Eye.
For the forecast area today, we'll have plenty of sunshine with a high of 60, light northwest winds around 5. Cloud cover tonight, low of 42. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 43.
Today's good neighbors of the day, Kim and Jeff Mullins. They receive flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And happy birthday to Dr. Erica Knox. She's the birthday cake winner, receiving the cake from Junior's Foodland.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Introducing Progressive's exclusive Snapshot Discount, a program that tracks your good driving and rewards it with discounts. Find out more at progressive.com. Again, that's progressive.com.
It's the Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back. It's the Dan Whittle Show today. And what a great friend he is. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. At 713-4639, At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. We were going to be talking about something that's of interest.
Yeah, first I want to say one of my claims to fame is I know Kim Harris Mullins. the good neighbor of the day.
I know both of them.
And there's something magical about her husband, too.
Yes,
so
yes.
They are good people.
They are good people. And, of course, everybody remembers Kim when she was working with Bart Gordon's
That's
office and helped so many, many people over the years. She was an expert in a lot of areas, including health care and things like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jeff is part of the Mullins dynasty, the jewelry. So
part of what's right in our community.
Yeah, that's right. It is what's right in our community.
Anyway, the Journalism Hall of Fame, we are pumped.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And we made the formal announcement last week. It went statewide in news releases, and it was 3 years in the making. And, you know, a lot of people today that's moved into our community don't realize how many impactful journalists, media, radio, TV, newspaper, people, great people have come through Murfreesboro and Middle Tennessee. And that's one thing we wanted to do.
Is that including Dan Whittle?
No, I probably won't make the cut. I'm not one of those sensational type guys.
Oh, yeah, but you bring something that the community needs. You're one of these people that you get out there and you ring the bell for everything that's right. You're like our Tommy Martin, who was here years ago, that was selling Murfreesboro every step he took.
I never will forget the first time I met Tommy Martin. He said, "I can tell, but look at you, son. You're number one." And you know what? I believed him.
Everybody believed him.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's got to be great to wake up every morning with a smile on your face and let's go out and the sun's going to be shining where it's snowing or whatever. I guarantee you, if he was in New England right now, he would still be out there smiling, helping people.
The one of the people that's been mentioned to go into our Hall of Fame, a local radio personality, a lot of people will remember him. He's down in Tyler, Texas now. I'm talking about none other than the legendary, still living, rocking and rolling country music DJ down in Tyler, Texas, the Tom Perriman.
And that is underlined a number of times.
And he's in every disc jockey country music Hall of Fame in America. He'll be one of the first ones that we'll likely consider. Mm-hmm. We're still in the formation stage of our nominating committee, but these are some of the names that
do we get to vote, members of the media?
No. It's going to be a committee, and we'll keep that committee confidential too.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into his daughter the other day, and we were talking about him, and he's one of those people when you bring up his name, it automatically relates directly into country music. So what a great influence he had on that. And he knew just about everybody in the business at one time.
There's two prongs to Tom Perriman's career. Mm-hmm. First, radio. That's his platform. But country music is what he excels in. Mm-hmm. So those two platforms have launched him. He's a legend in Texas. He's a legend in Tennessee. He helped start the career of Jim Reeves. Mm-hmm. He helped launch Elvis Presley. He's one of those type people. He's in the media, but he got involved with the personalities and the real people of the country music entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. He took an interest in those that came on his radio program, and they've never forgot him.
It was an interest from the heart. I mean, it really was. He loves country music people, and he loves country music. And his daughter said that when he comes back up to Tennessee, he's going to be on this show, which just tickles me to death because I think the world of him.
He's one of the personalities on the country music book that Jennifer Stewart and I are writing. He's got a very lengthy, detailed chapter in our forthcoming book.
Your relationship to the Stewarts is really special, isn't it?
Yeah, they love you. They're some of my closest friends. And you know what I like about the Stewarts? I mean, Marty's famous, world famous.
Yeah.
They're so down to earth. Mm-hmm. They get up and put their britches on every morning just like everybody else. They're not showboat people. They're just down to earth good people.
When you had your art collection out at in Cannon County at the art theater there, they were there in support of you, and I thought that was so neat. I mean, they really have a genuine love and respect for you.
Well, I do them, and they're just down to earth great people. And Mammy, Hilda, Marty's mother, was an outstanding banker for decades here in Murfreesboro. A lot of people know Hilda Stewart here in Murfreesboro. She's a great lady. 80 years old. She's rocking.
Look it.
And we wanted to ask for prayers today because John Stewart, Marty's father, fell and broke his hip last week in a book tour down in Mississippi.
That's where they've gone.
And he's been brought into a health care facility here yesterday here in Murfreesboro. And that's why they couldn't come on the program mm-hmm. today, just family. Mm-hmm. Little family crisis commitment there.
Bless their hearts.
But they do ask for everyone's prayers for John to heal and do good.
Well, give me some of these other names that you guys are looking at.
Well, we've bandied around people like John Hood. John's
name's always bandied around.
You know, John wasn't in radio that long, actually, back in the 40s and the 1950s. He'll kill me
he was calling Little League baseball games when I was playing Little League.
But he has accomplished so much in the community, although he wasn't in radio actually that long through the 40s and the 1950s. His impact on a community, that was his platform mm-hmm. that launched him to serve this community in so many different facets. And it's a very interesting life that John Hood has.
John Hood does not forget anybody that he meets. He's one of the few people that has total recall, I think. And his voice is so special. You know, I could sit there and listen to him on the radio or in person forever because when he's one of these people that when he starts relating things, you know that that's gospel. That's right on because people come to him constantly when we're out eating or somewhere. And he knows their names just instantly. I wished I had that type of recall.
Yeah, I do too. He and Marilyn now have been married 61 years.
Poor Marilyn, bless her
heart. One of John's best friends was a classmate at Old Central. Mm-hmm. Dorothy Jean Barnett lives one of my good friends and neighbors in Smyrna. She says John has not changed one bit since he was he was always courteous in high school. He always promoted the school. Mm-hmm. Anything that he's involved with, it's about helping others. And I think that's one of the keys to the person John Hood is his interest in other people.
He's got to go home when he goes home and kicks the dog or something.
He can't be that nice.
No,
all the
you
time.
Can't be that nice. It's un-American.
Some of the other people, I want to mention Hooper Pinion. Actually, the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame was the brainchild of me and Hooper Pinion, and our original conversation took place in Hooper Pinion's backyard in Las Casas. Hooper is scheduled to fly in today, depending on the storm aftermath with the airlines in Chicago. But Hooper has been in Europe, mm-hmm. serving as an election judge, and
wow.
is due to fly back into America today. So.
An election judge in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
What doing what? What election?
Observing elections in a former communist country.
Oh, really?
In Ukraine.
Well, man, what an honor.
It is, but what a challenge. I mean, he's an old man, and that's rough country over there.
Did
that's
they realize who they've got over there?
He asked me if I wanted to go. I said, no, I'm too old, man. I'm not going.
There's another product of Mitchell Nelson and Central High School right there.
That's right. But it was his and I's brainchild to start a Journalism Hall of Fame. 3 years. It took us 3 years. Of course, MTSU has been very dynamic in supporting us. It will be based at MTSU in the College of Mass Communications. MTSU is their College of Mass Communications is recognized worldwide.
It is.
And for our Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame, it was a natural, and I'm glad President Sidney McPhee, you know, realized that, and Dean Roy Moore realized that it was a natural to have the Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame at MTSU.
Now, is that going to be when you nominate your people that are going to be put to the vote? Is that going to be in different categories, or is it just going to be across the board?
It will be in different categories, and here are the five main categories.
Okay.
Of course, newspaper, mm-hmm. radio, TV, mm-hmm. public relations, and electronic technical people.
Wow.
Plus, our business owners will be included and considered. You don't have to be a
like
writer.
Cecil Elrod started it, and then you got Bart Walker.
Bart Walker, these type people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be on the air person. You don't have to be a newspaper columnist with your picture in the paper every day. It's an all-inclusive media journalism Hall of Fame, and that I think that's the only one of its kind in Tennessee.
How do you reach out? Because you're going over 100 years or more of people who have been influential in Tennessee when it comes to the media, and you and I can remember what I call the legends, Fred Russell at the Banner years ago, and you know, and some that were in more serious parts of the
Jack Knox, the editorial cartoonist for the Nashville Banner, mm-hmm. was recognized nationally for his editorial cartoons. Mm-hmm. His daughter lives in Woodbury. He'll be one of the ones. John Bragg, the John Bragg Mass Communications mm-hmm. Building is named for John Bragg, our former state representative here. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people in the present era realize that John Bragg's family helped start newspapers all over Tennessee. His father was named Minor Bragg. Mm-hmm. Minor Bragg was the owner of and publisher of the Cannon Courier mm-hmm. that goes back to the 1800s in Cannon in Woodbury. Minor Bragg also founded the old Rutherford Courier mm-hmm. that was published for years, started in Murfreesboro. Ultimately moved to Smyrna, and then when Gannett bought the Daily News Journal, they phased out the Rutherford Courier. But here's a family, John Bragg's sons, Mayor Tommy Bragg mm-hmm. and the Judge David Bragg. They've also
chipped off the old block.
They are, and they're the type of people that take what they do serious but don't take themselves too serious. Mm-hmm. The Braggs have been that way. And for years, they were, David and Tommy, co-owned in the 1990s and 1980s the Cannon Courier in mm-hmm. Woodbury, which is now being published by my friend and great publisher, Ron Fryer.
And so there's a world of people to be looking at.
One name that a lot of people today don't realize came from Murfreesboro. A legend, a world legend, Grantland Rice.
Oh, yeah, they do, too.
He was born in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
And named one of the first ballparks after him here.
Yeah.
The Grantland Rice Ballpark, where they played Little League and Babe Ruth League.
And these type of people, through the media, they reached out, impacted the world, helped change the world. Started right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
So they have their work cut out for them because there are legends all across the state of Tennessee, and it's going to be hard to put the initial ones in. In fact, it's going to be mm-hmm. tough as you go from year to year. So how many per year are going to be elected?
We're talking about 5 to 10 the first couple of years to, you know, whittle down the awesome field that's out there because mm-hmm. there are so many out there. One of the current media stars in Middle Tennessee is also a product of Middle Tennessee State University is Holly Sears, that does the morning program on Channel 4 in Nashville. Mm-hmm. A great talent, and she was nurtured and groomed right here in the MTSU College of Mass Communications. They are turning out product. This university's School of Journalism or Mass Communications is recognized all over the world. Industries in New York, Chicago, L.A., MTSU has people in all of those markets now.
How are you going to find the information that you need? There's still people around that remember Judd Collins at Channel 4 many, many years ago in the 50s, and those even prior to that. Is it going to be possible to get the information you need to make sure that those individuals are given their just credit?
Well, yes, and Judd Collins, Lou Pinuel, Hooper Pinuel's brother. Mm-hmm. Lou Pinuel was a pioneer was a pioneer in television camera work mm-hmm. and production, a true pioneer in the in Middle Tennessee.
Still up there off Manchester Highway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and also Dan Miller with Channel 4. He passed away 3 or 4 years ago, and he will be, you know, logical. John Siegenthaler is still with us and a living legend mm-hmm. In Nashville. He worked for, in addition to being publisher of the Tennessean.
How about Mr. Stallman?
And Jimmy Stallman, mm-hmm. The publisher, the old publisher of the Nashville Banner. I worked mm-hmm. for him. He was one of those rogue, colorful.
You're one of those people. You've been around long enough that you know a lot of those individuals.
Yes, and you mentioned Fred Russell, one of the nicest human beings, obviously a gifted genius, mm-hmm. but just a down-to-earth gifted human being. It wasn't conceited one bit. He could sit down and talk to anybody at City Cafe or anywhere you wanted to go.
They come from a more gentle time.
Well,
they really
yeah.
did.
Jack Knox was another character at the Nashville Banner that mm-hmm. I was privileged to work with. His art talent is still marketed in the Tennessee walking horse industry. He did some of the most beautiful art with the walking horse people and their animals. He was known by presidents and governors all across America with his editorial cartoons. And Jack Knox was a riverboat pilot man. Jack Knox was a reformed alcoholic. And got into newspapers in the 1940s, started at the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, ended up his career with the Nashville Banner. Personal friend of Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, those Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Getting back to Mr. Siegenthaler. Mr. Siegenthaler left the journalism industry to work with Bobby Kennedy.
With the Kennedys, yeah.
And was knocked unconscious as a representative of Bob Kennedy in the race riots in Mississippi. Mm. Actually was beaten over the head and kicked under an automobile and left for dead. Mm. And finally, after about 2 hours, a newspaper man, a reporter, found Mr. Siegenthaler laying under an automobile, still unconscious.
You obviously have done a lot of research in this particular field, all the people that deserve to be looked at and placed in the Hall of Fame. Now, to be able to get as many names as possible, are you going to ask the public to have any input as far as being able to send names and maybe a little bit of background on the individuals that they would like to see there that have meant so much to as far as the information mm-hmm. that they've been able to gather over the years?
I'd say we will. We're not at that point yet because we're still forming the nomination committee and that. Yes, we will. We will be advertising this all over the state of Tennessee, asking for input.
Now, but the people that will actually be on the board will be people that have been in the business, I presume, for a while that have an idea of what.
But we'll have two or three people on the board that's what we call lay people, that's not in the industry per se, but they've been in public life. Mm-hmm. But we'll have some that's not industry related on the board.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dan Whittle.
Enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, the only certified physician in heart CT in this area, talking about the 64-slice CT scan.
Other tests are invasive and they are not as accurate, particularly the treadmill stress test. Sometimes you may have a negative test, you may still have blockages.
Before heart catheterization or a stress test, call 896-4800.
This is the earliest test where you could find information without taking too much risk.
Call 896-4800. It could be the 1 minute that saves your life.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Dan Whittle. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You know, one thing that forgot to mention when you first came on, that you're probably one of the most famous or infamous cross-dressers in the history of Rutherford County.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thanks to Ron Fryer and that Dad Burn cookbook that he published mm-hmm. while we were still at the Daily News Journal. Fryer doesn't admit this. He had to threaten to fire me to make me dress up in my Granny Fanny clothes and do the front cover of that cookbook. And one of the funniest things now, I finally took the cookbook after Mr. Fryer threatened to fire me, and they published the darn cookbook. Well, indirectly, that cookbook was ended up helping my career in a weird sort of way, but I took the cookbook into my mother at Peachtree Nursing Home, and she was a few months before passing away. Mother got a very concerned look on her, and I said, well, Mother, don't you like the cookbook? And she said, well, son, the cookbook's fine, but said, you've worked all your life to be known as a writer. And here you come out in your 50s as a cross-dresser. And thanks to my friend, publisher, Ron Fryer, the cookbook.
She told me.
I really appreciate you bringing that up,
I did
too.
Come in after you left, and she told me you look much better as a young man in a dress than you did then.
And he, getting back to the Tennessee Journalism Hall
yes.
of Fame, one of the people that we're taking a hard look at is a legendary Memphis journalist from the 1800s.
Good.
Ida B. Wells.
All right.
A black lady mm-hmm. who published her own newspaper in the 1890s, 1900s.
Wow. And that was in Memphis.
That was in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. She was born in the 1862 in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
During the war.
Moved up to Mississippi, moved up to Memphis. Her parents were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
She published a paper in Memphis. What made her famous, infamous, and famous was that three of her friends as black men were lynched for crimes
wow.
they did not commit. And that's what started, motivated her to start a newspaper in the black community of Memphis,
Tennessee.
Well,
she had to have a lot of nerve.
If she was a man, she would say that she had a lot of balls.
Mm-hmm.
But her crusading, though, resulted in her, she became so infamous and such a hot, controversial topic of concern in the Memphis community that out of fear for her life, she ended up having to move to Chicago.
That's amazing that she came from a family that were slaves, yet she obviously was a very educated type person. You had to be able to have that platform down in Memphis at that particular mm-hmm. time, and she was probably very influential.
She was, and her slave parents made it was imperative that they taught her to read before she even went to school. She did end up getting to go to a little black Community College,
mm-hmm.
and that's where she got her formal education. But her slave parents must have been remarkable people in that they somehow taught themselves to read, but they made sure their daughter knew how to read even before she started school.
Isn't that special?
Yeah.
How the most beautiful flowers can grow even some in the harshest land and the harshest weather.
Yeah, and but we've had some of the most gifted, courageous, colorful journalists in American history, Tennessee history.
You got some other names that stand out? Of course, we all, I think, are pretty much aware of the ones in this particular area that deserve to be in it, and many that I listened to when I was a kid, because all we had back then was radio. I mean, we had the newspaper, which we took the banner at our house, and I can still remember reading the comic strip. I mean, it was just they even had serial stories in the comic strips back then, which I thought was pretty neat.
The comic strips and the Sears Roebuck catalogs and the Bible stories was what helped me learn to read, mm-hmm. as even before I started to school. I was trying as a little boy before school. I was trying to write. I even tried to make up my own ABCs in order to write stories.
That's pretty neat.
And mother asked me right before she passed in 03. She said, "Son, do you remember me whipping your little butt so many times for telling stories as a little boy?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she looked up and smiled, and she said, "And you've ended up making a living out of those stories." And I said, "Yes, ma'am. I love to tell stories."
And you still do. I mean, where does the truth and the fiction meet in your columns? I mean, when you're writing, how much is creative and how much is actually direct from the individual that you're writing? Because I know you and I had a number of conversations over that. I mean, sometimes my conversations with you were a whole lot more colorful in the paper than they were face-to-face.
I say I work in the creative
realm.
Yes,
you do.
But I take the Fifth Amendment on that.
Isn't it fun to make... It really is. It's fun to make things more humorous when you have a story to put on. Because, you know, a lot of the characters that you interview really are true characters. They're away from the norm, as a rule. But if there is such a thing as a norm. But you even liven it up a little bit more. Is that because you want people to enjoy what you read? Or do you enjoy creating characters like they used to back Western lore? I guess we can go back to that. Some of the writers back then loved to make their characters bigger than life.
Yeah, the journalists in the 1890s and 1860s in that era often had fictitious characters, mm-hmm. that they wrote under their name, and could get away with a lot more criticism and biting words and criticism of political figures. They could get away with it, where for their own mortality, if they did it under their real name, they'd have got shot. And, one of those characters that you're talking about really, really, really helped my career here locally was a man named C.L. Vickers. He's dead now. Mm-hmm. C.L. was a bootlegger, mm-hmm. in Cannon County, a well-respected, beloved bootlegger.
I think most of them were at that time.
And is one of my dearest, most loyal friends.
Mm-hmm.
One of my highest honors, he was buried in his overalls that he was known to wear everywhere. One of my highest honors in life was asked to eulogize my friend C.L. Vickers.
Wow.
Getting back to that creative thing, he was the one, he called me one morning, said, "Dan, I think I saw a bear out in the pasture over here in the Burke community of Woodbury." I didn't necessarily believe C.L., but when I put that in the paper, we had bear sightings at Milton, Christiana, Bell Buckle. Black bears were everywhere due to C.L. Vickers' creative
thinking.
Was
that before our black bear story?
That was after your black bear story. You got a legendary making up. You got some history of making up some news, too. Tell us about that.
Isn't that by a reporter, Mike Weston? It's hard for me to believe that reporters could be that gullible or maybe so hungry for a front page story.
Was that Mike West?
No, it was not Mike West. In fact, the individual that bought on it, I think, was transferred or went to Florida somewhere.
All right, but share with the listeners, though.
I was being harassed that morning by one of the reporters, and he needed a story. And I said, well, we don't want to put this out, but you just keep it under your hat that we
saying that is like a flag in front of a newspaper man. Go ahead.
I said there was a large bull that was killed last night and by a large black bear. And the bull weighed over 2,000 pounds, and the bear was huge. It was seen running away, and we don't want to alarm the community. So I kind of left it at that, maybe added a few more things. Next thing I know, I pull up the paper the next morning, it's front page.
Front page news. That's a legendary story.
And I kept quiet for a little while until we had bear sightings, as you were saying, all over the community. And people were putting their dogs up and everything else. So I finally had to eat crow on it.
Well, another creative thing that we did was UFOs. If I put a UFO sighting in my column, we'd have UFO sightings everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just human nature.
Well, you know, everybody listens to WGNS at midnight. And what's the name of the show, Brian, that comes on at
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people, you know, that have actually been, and this is true, that have actually been kidnapped by Martians and aliens, and then they've come back and they can relate to those stories that they're listening to, which I think is absolutely fascinating.
Brother, if I was, I don't think I'd tell it.
We're going to have to take a break. In fact, we're going to have to leave. I think they're kicking us off the air, so I don't know what happened. But we'll be back in the morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have a sweet young lady on, Leanne Newton, and we're going to be talking about some things that will be absolutely fascinating to you.